Final hour fist pump time on the Fan Cam Twitch and YouTube. It's the hump day edition.
Hump day.
Of Sean and Bobby. Choppy out this week on Christmas vacay. Everyone getting it on the Fan Cam Twitch and YouTube. We got Peyton. We got Caitlin. We got Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. And my name is Sean Treve. Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com. Coming up at 9:20, we'll crosstalk with the KMC masterpiece to see if they were totally consumed by the NBA Cup that was won last night. If they're going to agree with me over Bobby that the All-Star game changes are going to be good, and whatever else we get into. But RJ Choppy is out. We already did chopping it up today. And RJ is usually in charge of NFL overreactions or not. Bobby, taking it over.
Oh, I'm taking it over. I'm shouldering RJ's load here.
Big shoulders.
First question here. First overreaction, not question. First year NFL head coach Gerard Mayo is more likely to lose his job than Mike McCarthy.
Man, it's really starting to heat up in New England. All right, how are you separating the mass holes versus like and Robert Kraft and his son with the lip reading, calling out the play calling with Gerard Mayo's mishaps? They're missing Bill Belichick's game management. The one thing though that they say, Boston media, they're like, Belichick never would have drafted Drake May. So at least we got Drake May out of Gerard Mayo and this new staff. But I will say it's an overreaction. McCarthy is more likely to lose his job, and the Krafts will not pull the trigger that quickly.
I would agree it's an overreaction, but it's not the overreaction I thought it was for either one of these 3 weeks ago. I missed on Mayo, though.
That's how much of a sucker I am. My wife would call me very naive. Mayo came on this show once to promote like a Super Bowl. I think it was a Mayo ad for the Super Bowl. And when he got off, Choppy and I were like, oh my God, that guy's going to be a great head coach. That guy's going to be a good coach. And it seems like media-wise, at least, he's bumbling everything.
Yeah, but I've also never seen a city.
Oh, they're the most spoiled sports brats there are.
They're not
grateful for getting over the drought and getting all their championships. They're so entitled. I mean, they ran Belichick out.
This is one of their guys. This is a guy who spent a decade playing for them, like contributed to Super Bowls, was on this coaching staff, is running counter to a lot of Belichick stuff that you hated and wanted driven out, and yet they hate him they want to get him out of his job. I've never seen anything like it. The one saving grace for Gerard Mayo may be that Robert Kraft, after walking away from Belichick, doesn't want to be seen 1 year later having to go, oh, I screwed up. Yep. That may be the one thing that saves him.
The pride.
But McCarthy's odds going up, Mayo's going down. It's an overreaction, but I don't think it's nearly as close as it would have been a couple weeks ago. All right. With Bill Belichick off the market, Brian Flores, and not Mike Vrabel, is the best head coaching candidate with previous experience.
Overreaction. I still think people are scarred by what happened with Flores, because that case is still active, right?
Yes. Yep.
Now, he accused the NFL or the Dolphins exactly of what?
So that it was, he's accusing the hiring NFL practices in general of hiring practices and essentially a blackballing. And there were also accusations, I believe, that were tied into New England. And that's because Flores was in New England. And that's why Belichick, we read in that Seth Wickersham article, couldn't have some conversations with the league that he would normally have, try to back channel things, because he's involved in lawsuits that have made it complicated for him to have contact with anybody. And so that's one of those areas where it's still out there. It's hanging over their head.
There's a ton of Cowboy fans. I mean, I've seen Flores from Tolos throughout the entire year.
Flores has been, he's got a track record now as just a fantastic defensive fixer, though. And so if you want to talk about somebody who, when Tua starts giving a teary-eyed interview saying, he made me feel so bad. And so I think a lot of Cowboys fans look at that and go, great. Bring it here.
Yeah.
Guys feel bad.
I want to make everybody cry.
So I would still probably lean Vrabel, but I don't think it's an overreaction. I think it's a debate that Flores might be right there next to Vrabel.
Well, I took another coaching gut punch yesterday when Orlovsky went on McAfee and basically suggested that Mike Vrabel has his next job. And everyone is trying to tie it to Ohio State, even though you said Ohio State's AD voiced the support for Ryan Day just a short time ago.
Yeah, he had essentially said that, no, like, I expect him to be here. There's nothing that tells me he won't be here. Now, the one
Ohio against the world.
I'm seeing that the Bears want Vrabel. Like, Vrabel's name now has been reignited everywhere. What a finicky back and forth sports world we live in. Like, Mike Vrabel was there to hire last offseason, and now everyone's like,
yeah,
no, Mike Vrabel, take him to Chicago, put him in New York.
Yeah, that, you know, it's ridiculous. It's always funny how somebody bounces back like that, and their image can change depending on what the market looks like or other things like that. But I will say, on the Ohio State front, really quickly, Bruce Feldman actually had an article last week, and Bruce Feldman obviously is very connected college football writer. He had put up one of these articles that was like, yeah, everybody keeps talking about Ryan Day getting fired in Ohio State. Has anybody asked the question, why would Ryan Day want to come back to this? Why would Ryan Day's family want to deal with everything that comes from the nastiness of, you know, you feel like you've put in all this? Essentially the same question we ask about McCarthy from time to time. Who's to say McCarthy doesn't say, why would I want to put up with this anymore, even if they want me back? And so maybe that's a factor there, is that Ryan Day could walk away and it wouldn't even be Ohio State. Next, NFL overreaction or not.
Are you believing Vrabel will coach Ohio State?
No, I don't, especially because it came from Dan Orlovsky. I don't think he knows what he's talking about. Regardless of who wins the MVP, Lamar Jackson has had a better season than Josh Allen.
Overreaction. You're going to have to really hit me over the head with some of these numbers here to convince me that Lamar should be in the same conversation, even though I think he now is number two in Vegas. But Josh Allen is going to run away with this thing, and I think he should. Pun intended.
He is going to run away with it. As I mean, obviously you read the odds this morning that he's like -900 or whatever he's at. So I mean, he's clearly going to win the award. But again, regardless of it, who has had the better season? I think objectively it's Lamar Jackson's been better.
Really?
Yeah. And so I don't think it's an overreaction at all. I think that Lamar Jackson, when you look at the way that he's played this season, he's leading the NFL in passer rating. He's got 34 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. He's got a career high in completion percentage. He's got a career low in interception percentage. He's turning the ball over at the lowest rate of his career.
Josh Allen is number 9 in passing yards?
Yep. He's not playing like this prolific football. He's kind of playing things underneath. Now, he does lead the NFL in QBR.
Number 9 in yards per game? He leads the NFL in QBR?
He leads the NFL in QBR. So it's a very measured and good, like, he's playing good football. He's playing great football. But it's not as prolific as what Lamar Jackson's doing. So I think given the ways that Lamar Jackson has pushed himself and is doing things that are outside the bounds of what he's normally done. I mean, he's leading the NFL in yards per attempt, adjusted yards per attempt.
Yeah, he's going to blow away his passing yards from last year.
And he's right there.
His QBR is 9 points. No, it's 11 points higher than last year.
Yep.
And it's 15 points higher than 2022.
He's been really good this year.
34-3.
And that's where I think that when you look at this,
has he altered your thinking on him as a quarterback?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. No, I mean, he has. He's played really good this season. It's not enough for me to say, same question I've run into with other quarterbacks from time to time. I'm not going to point to 1 year, good or bad, and say that they're broken or they're fixed. And so this is as good as I've ever seen him play. He's been great this year. And so now, is he great moving forward? Is this a flash in the pan, or is this what he is now?
A flash in the pan with a two-time MVP.
I think he's, as a running back, I mean, Emmitt won an MVP. I wouldn't say he was a great quarterback. Lamar Jackson has been fantastic. He's probably going to pass 4,000 passing yards for the first time in his career. He's very possible he's going to get to 40 touchdown passes. He's been insane this year. And so I think he's had a better year than Josh Allen has. Next, overreaction
or
not.
So you would vote him MVP?
No, because I still think, even though he's played better, I do think MVP is about how do you affect the end results of your team. Josh Allen doing what he's done without, you know, Stephon Diggs there and helping to elevate Buffalo, I think is more valuable. But I think that Lamar Jackson's been better overall. Next, NFL overreaction or not. Let's go to the new Lamar Jackson. The NFL is figuring out Jaden Daniels just like they did with RG3.
I'll let you answer this first.
I'm going to say overreaction slightly, because I think even though they look similar in terms of their production, if you look at the way they've played and their style and different things like that, he definitely is more similar to me to Lamar than RG3. And it's a less accurate version of Lamar. And I don't think it's anything that they figured out with Jaden Daniels specifically. I think it's getting a beat on what Cliff's been doing offensively and the struggles there. I don't anticipate that Jaden Daniels will have the same career trajectory as RG3. But this rookie year, it is stunningly similar. In fact, RG3's numbers, you remember everybody used to talk about he's never thrown. He's attempting 15 passes a game. What's going on here? RG3's numbers through as many games were he threw the ball more than Jaden Daniels does through his first 14, 15 games. And his numbers were actually better. He turned the ball over less. But no, I don't think they're figuring him out. But his trajectory has been similar. So I'll say overreaction.
119 carries for Jaden. And you went through the numbers a few weeks ago. They were just stunningly similar to RG3. One less carry for Jaden Daniels right now in his rookie season than RG3's rookie season. I was not thinking in my mind that Jaden was running it as much.
Well, and they pulled it back significantly. And it's something where he early on was running the ball a lot, and they've cranked it back up a little bit in the last few weeks. But yeah, his highest rushing totals in terms of carries, the four of the high, his four highest came in the first 5 weeks of the year.
Dude, Jaden, RG3 never played in 10 games after his first 2 years.
Yep.
Never played a 10-game season. And he lasted four more after his first 2 years. Wow.
So, overreaction or not for you?
I don't feel comfortable in it. I have to admit, like, I'm not watching Washington as much week to week as closely anymore. But I'll still say overreaction because I just think Jaden Daniels has more football intelligence than RG3. RG3 refused to adjust, refused to adapt, and I'll give Jaden more football intelligence credit.
NFL overreactions or not, Kyle Shanahan's welcome has worn out in San Francisco, and like Andy Reid, he needs to find his Kansas City to save his legacy.
I'll say overreaction. I hope it's not an overreaction and that he's free and available to get him out of there, but I will say overreaction. You?
I'm going to say not an overreaction. I think it's at least a question. If his time, if it feels like the messaging is starting to, things are cracking there in a way that they haven't before. And
like, who would they? Let's say we're doing San Fran radio and we're not those freaking buffoons. So I wish lose their job, at least one of them for
Salami
sure.
Salami Joe and yeah. Whoever the other guy is.
Oh, baby.
Who's the head coach to bring in over Shanahan? Like, we're having a hard enough time right now. Some are trying to pick a coach over Mike McCarthy. Do San Fran talk radio for a minute here. Who's the who's the Kyle Shanahan upgrade? Bill's gone. You getting more of an offensive genius in Ben Johnson than Kyle Shanahan? He's your offensive genius. Who's the easy name?
No, it's a good question. Do they...
Is it Vrabel?
Sala?
You a tough guy? Salah?
Salah was there in San Francisco, helped build that defense. Yeah. And if they just go, hey, we need a defensive-minded coach now, somebody to kind of rally things a little bit, somebody who will be a culture builder. Because Kyle Shanahan, let's be honest, he's kind of a D. Like, he seems like he's just difficult to deal with. The way he...
Have you heard any stories about him?
Yeah. Yeah. He can be difficult. And, I mean, publicly, you see it. He shuts down... Forget just the media. Shuts down the media, obviously, but... The Devondre Campbell stuff is happening right now. He's had issues at times with Debo. There was the basically scolding Jordan Mason for, hey, thanks for publicly saying you knew you were going to start the other night. Like,
but he's right with the Campbell situation. I think he was right with the Ayuk situation, changing to the right, you know, gear. The Debo thing was over, what, contract?
Personality.
I don't know how many of those things I blame him for.
Personality management is hard, though. Remember the shorts? The shorts issue with Ayuk, too.
But I mean, like, to the program.
I missed that one. But anyway, the idea being that Kyle Shanahan, right now, if you were to look at the beginning of his career, wouldn't you agree that most closely mirrors Andy Reid's in Philly, where it's can't get over the hump, is this big offensive innovator.
Always
and
there, kind of.
I wonder if this is wearing out, does he need to go find another spot to rally and save his legacy?
Now, let me just infuriate all the Tolos even more. If they fired Kyle Shanahan, would Jerry Jones make the swap?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he would.
You think he would?
I think he would.
No.
Because Kyle's really the one in control there, Michael Lombardi always said. It's not John Lynch.
No, John Lynch is definitely more of the, he sets, like, the chi of the building. Like, he's he's the culture guy.
Around the NFL, overreactions or not, with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Roberto Bell. Now let's focus more on the Cowboys in Tampa Bay with our insider, Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, after this. Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, joins us every Wednesday, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty well. Did you get a chance to hear Jerry yesterday? Any takeaways, if so?
I did not. Okay. Actually, I did not get a chance to hear that. I was at another event with the other members of his family, but no, I didn't hear that. But I did hear it was kind of squirrely, actually.
There you go. Now, were you at was this event that you're referring to at a steakhouse?
No.
Okay. I got some reports of a possible Cowboys steakhouse party, and I just was like, why weren't we invited? I didn't know.
No, I wasn't at that. Okay. No.
So Jerry Jones yesterday suggested that Mike McCarthy and Mike Zimmer could be tied together. What do you think of that? Actually, you know what? Let me stick with the squirrel for a second, because a lot of people try to throw Arkansas under the bus for this. Arkansas known for squirrel and raccoon consumption at all?
Not that I've ever heard of, but then again, my next hunting trip will be my first. So I don't know if I'm in all of that. You know what I mean? I haven't really worn the camo, orange. That's not me. So,
all right. What about the mics tied together, possibly?
You know, that's interesting. It's just like everything that's said right now. I always kind of wonder, like, what I'm trying to read between lines. Like, what does it really mean, right, and all that? And so when they says that, I think that. I'm not saying everyone's playing games, but I just think there's always more to it than that. So tied together, I guess maybe I'm reading too much into it. If you come back, Mike comes back. Zim and Mike. If not, if we're changing, we're changing. And here's the thing. I don't know if I would say Mike and Zimmer are tied together. I would just say that, like, you can't figure anything out with Zimmer until you figure it out with McCarthy. So that's the way I would kind of view it.
But why can't you just say, because they've done this with Jason or Kellen, right?
They did it with Garrett, because they wanted Garrett to be the head coach. So that,
okay.
He wanted Jason Garrett to be the head coach eventually. So that was it. But I don't think you hire an older defensive coordinator, Mike Zimmer, and then say, all right, whoever, if there is a new coach, and say, he's your guy. He has to, look what he did last year. He has to be here. Like, no. So I don't think it works that way. I think it, then again, if Mike is coming back, I mean, maybe they do want to make changes on defense. I don't know. I just think that's a kind of a weird thing to say at this point in the year.
How much, and we know Jerry continues to say, hey, I'm still, I haven't tipped anything off of my body language. Nothing's been determined, anything else like that. How much do you think is still left up for Jerry to determine over these last 3 weeks? Like, do you think he's got an inclination of which direction he's going and he just hasn't shared that yet?
Probably. Yeah. I would think he has, and I also think he said it several times to you guys and over the years about his reluctance to fire coaches. He didn't like, he regrets some of the coaches he's had to fire. I think he likes the fact that he didn't fire Jason Garrett. And he probably would like the fact that he doesn't have to fire Mike McCarthy. If he wants to make a change, he doesn't have to do that. So I think that right there is one thing that, one direction he could go. But if he does decide to bring him back, maybe he needs to see a little bit more this year with, if they go and win two of these games, three of these games, if they beat Philadelphia, who's trying to play for something, I think that would still go a long ways for Jerry.
Nick, have you felt some fade in the fan base? Like, if they came to you and they're like, hey, how are the numbers, DallasCowboys.com? What are you and Derek Eagleton seeing in terms of the interaction? Did they need to be worried there would be like a significant drop-off or bailout if Mike came back because that wasn't anything new or refreshing?
I don't think bailout is the right term. But, yeah, I mean, I think that there is a lot of people that want to see something new and something fresh. And so that's every year. And so for Steven has already kind of said, and he's let it be known several times, how next year is going to be a challenge. I think when everyone sees that and goes, okay, it's bad on the cap this year, it's going to be worse next year, got some key players we were excited about that are now going to be injured into next year. Like, what are we excited about? So I think that, you know, if you bring back McCarthy, there's going to be a lot of fans that just won't see the hope, won't be excited about that. But you can't please everybody there, and I don't think there's going to be a bailout situation. I think it's football. That's what happens. I mean, I wrote a book about that kind of stuff. This is what happens in football. Yeah, I mean, it's every year. You can say, all right, I'm done with this team. I'm done. I don't care what happens next year. And the next thing you know, you're rubbing your hands together. Like, who are we getting to get in the draft? That's the cycle of football. It sucks us all in. So I don't think the Cowboys are really worried about that too much.
Nick Eatman on the D&M Leasing Hotline every Wednesday, DallasCowboys.com. You had told us weeks and weeks ago that this upcoming offseason is probably going to be pretty tight. Steven said it. But then you have Twitter capologists who say they're lying to you. They just flip the switches, create $100 million worth of cap room. They have it built in to all the extensions that they handed out. To that, you say what?
I think, well, first of all, that's false. $100 million is false. I get some of those people that call in on the podcast that I'm on, and they ask that question. So I went and did some research on it, and that's not true. And if you could get $75 million, I think is the most that you could get, okay? Do you want to extend those guys? Because if they extended those, the reason that they're in some of the issues that they are now is that they have already done that in the past, and I don't think it's the players that, you know, you would want to extend. They kept extending Tyron Smith until it was too much. Michael Gallup is a top 11 player on their books this year.
Wow.
And so my point to that is you want to get 100 or 75 million? Okay, well, extend Malik Hooker out. He's having a great year. Extend him out. Extend out Donovan Wilson. Extend Trayvon Diggs. Like, extend Steele. These are some of the guys that I think you're trying to look to go a different way. Not all of them, but some. So Dak and CD, yes, that's built in to do that, but it's not accurate to say that they could get $100 million, and it's more like $75 million. And I also think those capologists that with air quotes, please put some air quotes around those guys, but you know, they're going off the same websites that everyone else is looking at, overthecap.com, and those websites have flaws. And here's one example of that. You go to those websites that tell you how much cap space. Go look at Deron Bland's number for next year. It'll say like 1.1 million or 1.2. He's going to make five. He's going to make five because he's triggered in some accelerators in his contract. There's about five guys that way. So those websites have a nice neighborhood base, but they don't have all the specifics. They're not counting in the way the Cowboys are. Going, we've got to factor in $20 million for this, for the practice squad, $20 million or, you know, $10 million for the elevations that you call up every Sunday. You've got to have your draft picks, all this stuff. So you look at the cap, but there's about $30 million that you have to shave right off the top, and then some other things aren't as accurate either.
Well said, well explained. Did Steven Jones top end, top heavy salary comments surprise you and make you question Micah's future here?
No. I don't question it. Actually, again, I got a chance to interview him yesterday, 2 days ago. I asked him the same thing, and he was like, I don't know why. He goes, I didn't say that. That's basically what he told me. He goes, I didn't say we have to rethink it. I said, anytime that you have top three players at their position, it's certainly going to be a challenge. But he didn't back off that. You know, our goal has always been to sign those three players, and we've signed two of them, and now our goal is to sign the third one, and nothing has changed. So I just think if you watch these games, I don't know how you could trade them. I really don't. You look at the last month. Look who's leading the league in sacks in the last month of the season, the last, you know, 4 weeks. It's the Cowboys. And it's not just Micah. I mean, but look at what Carl Lawson's doing. Look what these other guys are doing. It's because Micah has come back.
Yep.
And so, and that was a kind of a criticism, I think you could say, is Micah's been great at all since he got here. Have the other guys around him been great? This year, I think we're really seeing the elevation of other players around him playing better because of him buying into everything. And that speaks well for Zimmer as well. But I think, you know, Micah Parsons is making players around him better as well. And I think that goes a long way when you're talking about bringing a guy back.
Are players playing better around Micah Parsons because he's grown as a player, or because he's grown in terms of maturity and the things that maybe go on in terms of as a practice player and in the locker room and things like that?
Bobby, I think it's been better this year. I mean, I know when he said it at training camp, he talked a lot. It was kind of like, all right, this guy's on his best behavior and all that. I think it's happened all year long. I think he said the right things. I think he's done the right things. You see it, you know, you saw he cares to win as much as anybody. It bothered him when people in the media, you know, were said some things about him and the comments about McCarthy. And I think since then things have kind of changed somewhat as well. But the guys around him are playing better. And I've said this a bunch of times. When a player like him moves around to different spots, let's not forget the other guys have to move as well. And they're buying in. They're doing a nice job. Golston moves to a different spot. Mozzie moves, shuffles around a little bit, overshown before his injury. Same thing. And I think everybody's sort of buying in. But it starts with Micah, and he's played really, really well here lately.
And Nick, tonight we got Cowboys Crosstalk. I believe it's Tony Casillas. Is he going to be jumping on with us?
I think that's right. That's the name that I've heard as well, Tony Casillas. Chris Arnold, maybe.
So we got Tony Casillas tonight, Tony Tolbert a couple weeks, but you can hear that on DallasCowboys.com. I imagine Tony Casillas will go much more smoother than maybe Charles Haley did a couple weeks ago.
Well, I mean, he's going to be dressed smooth. You know that. You know Tony Casillas is like the coolest dude ever, man. So, yeah, he's going to be dressed pretty, you know. He's going to fit in up there for sure. I know that.
Thank you, Nicholas. Great stuff.
All right. See you guys. Thank you.
And bring up the Bachelor to him as well. Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com. He's a huge Bachelor fan. He was, at least.
Oh, wow.
You know, before we just totally cook up or throw out the raccoon and the squirrel, this all got started because of Xavier Leggett, the best voice in all of sports. He went on the Amon-Ra St. Brown podcast, and they asked him about the cuisine when Carolina went on over to Germany.
I ain't never trying to go bite, though. I ain't never trying to go back. We went to a 5-star steakhouse, man.
Cause these folks ain't even know what lemonade was.
But Europe is like that. They don't. My dad's the same.
Lemonade.
Lemon.
Cause we have for lemonade. These folks bring something back. They like soda in it and some more stuff. Like they want even the color of lemonade. So then we like, okay, boy, let her get some white, what is that, sourdough bread? Bro bought some stuff back with some black speckles on it. Man, I say no way, man. So then we get our steak cut. The steak tastes like they just put it on the stove one side, put it on the other side, and gave it back to them. Man, that's so nasty, man. Everybody on the team came back skinnier than all the water. I'm telling everybody, like, boy, I done lost like 12 pounds, 13 pounds.
It's my favorite voice in sports history. It's not even close. I could listen to it all day long. And then the follow-up question was, all right, did they screw up the steak or did you screw up how you ordered it?
After that steakhouse, you were done?
Yeah, I say, bro, there's no way, bro. How do you mess up a steak? All you need
it's
to do
easy.
Put
it, it's easy put, to mess up a steak.
No, it ain't. All you got to do is hit a little bit of salt.
Right, no. How'd you order your steak? Like, how'd you get it cooked?
Oh, I get mine well done. I can't
that's,
see
no that's thing. The problem.
That's the problem right that there. I could look at you, and I knew you were going to say, well done. I could have.
Oh, you got to get medium rare.
You're eating raccoons and rabbits and shit, bro. You can't get steaks well done.
I love it.
How much would you enjoy just like a 30-minute sit-down of Xavier Leggett and Jerry Jones together? Oh, it'd be so... Like, I think they interviewed him during the pre-draft process at the Combine or something. I would have loved to have heard what those conversations were like.
Crosstalk with a KMC masterpiece. We'll have that conversation with the fellas after this.
Fans on their feet celebrating this one. The Bucs have announced themselves. Yes, the Bucks are back. 97-81. They clobber the Thunder. They are the Emirates NBA Cup champions here in year two of this event.
What type of conversations did you guys have about elevated interest in the NBA Cup?
We talked about the NBA Cup literally 0 seconds yesterday.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Except for when Mike brought it up to point out that we hadn't talked about it.
And how much he hated it.
And I think that was the end of it. Look, I cared when the Mavs were in, and then when they lost, I didn't care, like, at all. But you heard the whole appeal of it. Got to get the sponsorship in. And
but last year, I feel like the ratings were up. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. The NBA just has a ratings problem.
NBA Cup ratings are down year over year from last year, but it's about the same.
What do y'all think are the NBA problems, and does Mike agree?
NBA in general problems, yeah. Or for the... Okay, so and we've kind of talked about this. I get it. Not everybody, but for some... Probably just watching what feels like a glorified three-point competition at times is a little bit of a beatdown.
That would be like three for me on my list. Number one is what Mike's, I think, biggest beef is, and not knowing who's going to be playing that night.
Yep,
because of load management and everything. Yeah. And if that's a real problem, then the league needs to change their schedule for load management. Like, create it.
Space the games?
Yeah, space. Don't have back-to-backs. You know, like, that's the biggest complaint for most of the players anyway, is the back-to-backs screw it all up. So that's the way I would kind of solve that. But that's definitely number one, because I think people are like, I want to see this. And when that guy's not on the screen and you got Pritchard out there instead, you're like, all
right. We're going to a game. There's no more scary ticket to buy than an NBA ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on
that. And then, I mean, and that's part of the interest. You go to a game, you get more excited, you're back now home watching the game. You know, like you're gonna couple those things together.
What's two for you?
I'm gonna have to think about this.
Is this a Rick Perry moment?
Yeah, this is one of those where I'm like, what's, you know what? One? It's low. The 3-point part is low to me, though. I would say the stoppage in time for like free throws and all the stuff that you're like, I want a rhythm for the game is always a thing for me. My suggestion on free throws, I stand by. Here's how you do it: you save up the free throws till the end of the quarter. All right. So if this team had 7 and this team had 8, then that team gets to shoot 1 free throw. And then at the end of each quarter, you just shoot however, with a difference between it, and that's the free throws. Otherwise, that way, you keep the game going.
Yeah. Free throws are a total stop. Yeah,
I totally agree. It could be a 3-point swing at the end of the quarter.
The other thing I still wonder about is how many, like, breakout stars the NBA has to the world. Like, I get it. Anthony Edwards is awesome. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is awesome at playing basketball. Tatum, Brown.
Yeah.
But how many just, like, regular folks care about any of those four guys? Anthony Edwards, maybe?
Some are theorizing that there's not a post-LeBron face.
Because it can't be... I mean, it can be Jokic, but where's that going to get you? That's going to get you to Tim Duncan land of boringness.
Yeah,
which existed
for a while.
Yes, it did. And so I love Nikola Jokic as a player, but like, he's not for the masses.
I don't know. Like, thinking through... When have just different points of, like, the sport is on the brink moments have occurred?
Post-Mike.
It's been, well, there's that one, yeah, for sure. That was saved maybe by the Lakers dynasty for a little bit there, probably, and LeBron after that.
People were not interested in the Rockets back-to-back, really.
Yes.
Pistons and Spurs killed people.
Yeah, the Spurs were a boring team, that kind of thing.
So the Rockets back-to-back got me into the NBA. But I really, that was when I was looped in. That was the first time I started watching it that much.
When I think of that saved the sport conversations that we've had historically, it's two of them. People say Bird and Magic saved the NBA in the 80s because they were on tape delay. There were drug abuse issues throughout the league. There were a lot of different things. And they were like, that Bird and Magic thing, it set the NBA off and it rallied. And then people thought post-strike baseball wasn't going to come back, and then McGuire and Sosa and the home run chase saved it. So to me, it's like, I don't know, you got to find your rivalry then. You got to find your McGuire Sosa. You got to find your Magic Bird in the NBA, wherever that is, and you got to lean into it.
And who's going to be the dude? Who was going to be the phenomenon that was going to take over the NBA? Zion. How's that gone? Not very well.
Yeah.
So that hurts. I mean, that was going to be the dude that had all the social media trend. You got to see him in college. Freaking President Obama was like, I got to be at this Duke North Carolina game. And then he's like, oh, he's hurt a lot. His team's not that good.
Which I heard the Pelicans are putting a lot of those guys up for.
Yeah, I'm curious, dude, what
trade
they
I've been wanting to pluck that roster
that.
For six years, and Brandon we just Ingram's haven't been able to. Player. It's too late now. How many other teams were affected by the regional sports network stuff? The same way we were. like where Mavs fans couldn't watch games last year.
12, 14.
I wonder how much that has an effect on it this year, on the ratings specifically.
Yeah.
Because, you know, having to, I got to go, if I want to watch it, if I want to watch a Mavs game, it's either on KFAA and I got to go to Fubo for that. If I want to watch it on TNT, I got to go over to Amazon and find it in their their Max area. So there's a lot of that going on. But I wonder how many people just got turned off by the whole, and it, if that affected baseball the same way or is going to.
I would think that would work in their benefit this year. So it's one of the things, like last year, we had talked about this last year. One of the other factors you always had to consider about anything that was coming out that was a big ratings boom last year was everything was setting record high ratings because they were starting to find, like, I can go on my YouTube TV right now and I can opt into Nielsen ratings. Like, it's on there. And so all the streaming stuff has started getting counted at a ridiculously high rate that it never had been before.
It'd be great if we could do that for ratings. Yeah,
and so because of that, it's something where you saw a boom last year where everything was setting record highs. Record audience for every sport for about 6 months.
Yeah.
And now I think you're just saying, oh, okay, maybe it was a normal audience. And then this year, slightly down, but it's pretty much a normal audience for what NBA gets.
Bobby and I's big disagreement today is over the All-Star game change.
Are you Team Kevin Durant or not Team Kevin Durant?
Not Team Kevin Durant.
Oh.
Kevin Durant says he hates it. They're basically breaking them into teams of eight. They're going to play smaller games to 40, advance, winner, $1.8 million on the line. I am a supporter of it.
So essentially they're doing the NHL All-Star game, what they do, and then the little mini tournament. And the thing is, the thing that didn't change for that is nobody cared and nobody still played defense. So if nobody cares and nobody still plays defense, you can shift it up however you like.
Yeah, if that's the case. I kind of wish that they made the games like to 20 because that would make them compete more. You know what I mean? There's less time for you to try hard. That's what we need.
I like that.
It's less time for you to try hard. So less time.
When you guys got rid of 5:30 to 6. Less time for you to try hard.
You know, you guys have taken a couple of format shots at this program.
What was the other one?
The other one is McCarthy replay at 8:40.
I didn't say
Nobody knows that.
Actually, I think you were the one.
That was a long time ago. I haven't said it in a while.
Anybody who's driving at 8:40 wasn't up at whatever time that happened.
That's what I thought. That's what I would think.
I'm with you. I honestly have only heard the McCarthy interview twice once. Because I was at the gym one day.
You usually listen the most of anyone in the building.
I do.
What's your Tolo Odyssey rap time?
It was bad. It was because I do listen to the radio so much, but it was like 420 minutes.
Yeah.
And also, you're automatically going to be lower because you're on one of the shows.
That's a good point.
You can't possibly listen.
Yeah.
You could.
And how long is y'all show?
4 hours. Most days.
Same as ours that we get guilted over.
Most days, it's 4 hours.
I'm not really guilting you over it. When we did Peace-a-thon, that difference of not doing 5:30 to 6, I was pretty pumped about that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
What's coming up on the program?
We do dive into the Bucks immediately out of the gate at 10 o'clock, but do the Cowboys have two of the best offensive linemen of all time at 10:20? We'll ask that question.
Including number one.
And what is this Hornets thing that you sent me?
Oh, the Charlotte Hornets are getting crushed right now after they, by mistake, apparently, it was not intended. So they gave some child a PS5 yesterday at like a halftime or at a game recently. And then they took it away off camera when there was they realized that there was some sort of mistake. So instead of just eating the $500 charge, they took the PS5 away from the kid.
Or something?
Like when he won it?
Accepted it?
Oh, yeah. No, it was accepted on the big screen, and then they took it away when they got back in the hallway. And so it was something where it was taken away off camera. And this is like, what was it? Was it that the Utah halftime where the guy made the shot and they said the horn was at the wrong time? It's like, just for the publicity, just eat the charge and give it to him. This is a $500 game console. You can...
Well, they're just hoping it didn't get out that one would rat it out to social media.
That feels like it's worth $500 to pay that... It won't ever be a problem.
I've honestly thought most of the time when I see those sort of giveaways at halftime, like it's rigged for them to get it anyway. It's like, here you go. Feel good. Here, you get it. And I thought that's what it was, but I guess not.
It's like the opposite of what WWF back in the day used to do with the Million Dollar Man. And he'd like, this little kid would come up and he goes, if you dribble that basketball 15 times, I'll give you $500. And they would get like 13, 14. Then they would stick his foot out and kick the ball. And be like, oh, looks like you don't get the money. But then off air, they'd be like, here you go. Because otherwise, that's pretty harsh for a little kid.
Yeah, like with WWF, just nothing is the way they present it on there because it's not real. Kevin.
I mean, I understand that it is scripted, Bobby.
I had a teacher in eighth grade. I was wearing a No Fear shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And she walked up and she said, if you can tell me what the back of your shirt says, I'll give you $100. And I was like, okay.
What was that? Let the big dogs eat or stay off the porch?
The hum of the pitch, the crack of the bat, a screaming line drive. Baseball is not the American pastime. Picnics are a pastime. And she goes, oh, you said isn't, not is not.
Oh!
And I was like, that's BS.
So really, the story was about how to learn when and when not to use contractions.
Exactly.
The KMC Masterpiece is next on 105.3 The Fan.